Okay, two things I want to say before we come to the word. One is, part of our vision at Word of Grace is to obey Jesus' command of going and making disciples. Okay? Discipling simply means that you're doing something, you train somebody else to do the same thing, and they train somebody else to do the same thing. All right? That's what Jesus commanded us to do. And so this morning we have Austin, who's going to bring us God's word. Hallelujah. Give him a warm welcome.
Hi, everybody. It's good to see you all. Hope you're good to see me here. All right. All right. So this last Friday, we gathered at Colin's home for a worship evening. And we were 9 of us and soaking in God's presence, singing praises to God, worshiping. And while we were soaking in his presence, Veena, she saw a picture of a woman, and she was sitting at the Lord's feet. And at the same time, I saw a similar vision. I saw a picture of a woman. She was sitting at the Lord's feet. And it was a confirmation for me to prepare the sermon based on this. And God is going to speak to us through this, and expect God to speak to you, all right? And his presence is here in our midst. Okay, amen. Let us welcome his presence. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for protecting us. And we thank you, Lord, that we thank you for your word. For your word is life-giving word. Lord, where else can we go, Lord? Lord, you alone have the words of eternal life. Thank you, Lord. In you we have life. And I pray for your anointing over me as I share your word, Lord. And I pray that I'll share with great boldness and confidence in you, Lord. And I won't speak my own thoughts, my mind, but I'll speak what you want to say, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So could you please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, verse 36. In Luke chapter 7, we see that Jesus was invited by the Pharisee for dinner. And then Jesus went with the Pharisee to his house for dinner. And then one of the women who was living a sinful lifestyle in that town, she learned that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house. And then she went to the Pharisee's house with the alabaster jar of perfume. And she went and she stood behind Jesus, weeping at his feet. And she was weeping and she shed her tears on his feet and she wiped his feet with her hairs. Okay. And then she kissed his feet. And after kissing the feet, she poured the expensive perfume on his feet. And then the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw what was happening, and the Pharisee, he said to himself, if this man, if he were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she is. You know, she is a sinful woman. And Jesus, he understood what the Pharisee was thinking. And Jesus said to the Pharisee, Simon, I need to tell you one thing. And the Pharisee said, please do. Please tell me. And then Jesus says, there were two men who owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50 denarii. 500 denarii is equal to 20 months' wages, okay? And 50 denarii is equal to 2 months' wages. So one owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50 denarii. And then none of them had the money to pay back to the lender. And then he doesn't have any choice. He cancels the debts. And Jesus asks the Pharisee, what do you think? Which one loves the most to this moneylender? And then the Pharisee says, I suppose it is the one who has been canceled the 500 denarii, you know, the big debt. And then Jesus said, you have judged it rightly. Okay. And then Jesus looks to the woman, okay? He turns to the woman and he says to Simon the Pharisee, Simon, when I came to your house, you did not give me water for my feet. You did not give me any water for my feet. But this woman, when I came, she wet my feet with her tears and she wiped my feet with her hairs. Simon, you did not give me a kiss when I came. But this woman, when I came, she did not stop kissing my feet. And then and Jesus says to the Pharisee, you know, you did not anoint my head with oil. You did not pour oil on my head. But this woman, she anointed my feet with the perfume. She poured out her perfume on my feet. And Jesus says, who loves the most? And Jesus said that her sins, which were many, has been forgiven. Amen? And her sins, which were many, were forgiven. Then Jesus said to her, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen. And Jesus is talking about two kinds of people in this passage. One is a Pharisee, who is the most influential person in that area. You know, Pharisee, they make laws, they make rules, they know the law book, and they're also known as the holy men. Okay, people give them a lot of respect, honor, so they are the most influential people. And on the other hand, there's a sinful woman who is like an outcast, okay, and disrespected by the society, and people look down on her. Okay, and then we see that the Pharisee starts judging the woman, and he also tells Jesus that if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him. He would know that she's a sinful woman. You know, in the earlier passage in chapter 7, we see that Jesus heals the centurion's servant. Okay, and this servant was at the point of death. But Jesus heals this person and he's raised back to life. And he goes to the other town and he sees the widow's son who's been carried out. Okay, he's dead. But Jesus also brings this person back to life. And then the crowd, everybody starts cheering. They say, wow, a great prophet has arisen among us. For God has come to visit us. And we see that this Pharisee, he has forgotten what Jesus does. He does miracles. He has raised the dead to life. But, you know, Jesus proved him wrong. Jesus understood what the Pharisee was thinking. Okay, and then he told the parable about the moneylender and the two debtors. So the Pharisee, he's practicing hospitality. You know, he invited Jesus. We don't know why he invited, but he invited. But he does not give water to his feet. Okay, but the sinful woman, she does. She wipes his feet with her tears, okay, and with her hair. And the Pharisee does not give a kiss. But the sinful woman, she does not stop kissing Jesus' feet. And the Pharisee does not pour oil on Jesus' head, but the sinful woman does. Which one loves him the most? Okay, Jesus said, her sins which are many has been forgiven. For he who has been forgiven much loves much. We see that this woman, she recognized that she could not pay back her debts. She could not repay for her sins. She acknowledged that she's a sinner. How she expressed her love, her affection, her devotion to Jesus. By just sitting at the Lord's feet. By weeping at his feet. And You know, she gave her everything, her honor, her the hairs of women, they are honor for them. And she laid aside everything at the Lord's feet. But the Pharisee, he thought to himself, you know, he must be thinking that, you know, his relationship with God is right, you know, and that's why he has not practiced anything. He does not do anything for Jesus. But the sinful woman does. She acknowledges that she's a sinner, big sinner. But now Jesus has forgiven her. In this passage, we see that Jesus is our Savior. Okay? He's a Savior. He forgives all our sins. And let us turn to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." And let us also turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 22. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." Okay, Jesus did not condemn this woman. Okay, Jesus accepted this woman the way she is. And he forgave all her sins. And now she's blameless. Okay, and you know, we see that Jesus says to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." But we don't know about what happened to the Pharisee. Jesus did not tell anything to the Pharisee. Okay? And what can we draw from this passage? How can we express our devotion to God? Just like this woman, you know, she spent time in God's presence. She was at her feet. So we could also spend time in God's presence daily at his feet, spending time. And, you know, we know that he has reconciled us and he does not call us sinners, but he calls us sons and daughters. Okay, and he has made us free from accusation. Nobody can blame us. And he has given us full access to his presence. Okay, the Pharisee and the sinful woman could not come together. There was rejection. But in Christ, there is acceptance. Okay? So we have so much freedom to spend time in God's presence. Then the other thing is, we can express our devotion in our giving. You know, this woman, she poured out the expensive alabaster jar on Jesus' feet. Okay? We could give our tithes and offerings generously, cheerfully, just like this woman. Every time we give our best. Okay, and then the other thing is fellowship. You know, let us turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, 25. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Okay, it talks about not to neglect the fellowship of the believers, not to neglect meeting on a Sunday morning in this modern age. You know, every Sunday, let us practice meeting together, okay, and then visit, going for gym meetings, cell group meetings, Friday prayer, men prayer meeting, and let us practice these things, encouraging one another, loving one another. Okay, and how can we make it more better? By coming on a Sunday morning on time to service. That's the best thing you could do, honoring God by coming early. For me, it's a struggle for me sometimes, you know, to go to any meeting for on time. But I'm striving, I'm becoming more better and better. But let us not give up. Like this woman, let us express our full love and devotion to Jesus by coming on a Sunday morning before time and honoring God. And also not neglecting the fellowship, meeting throughout the week, meeting at life groups and other meetings. Then the other thing where we can express our love and devotional is by practicing hospitality. You know, the other day, Lasia invited few of her singles and families. You know, Lasia is single, but how kindly and wonderfully she invites people over to her house for dinner. And I won't tell you the menu. It was, your mouth will start watering. So, yes. So Lasia, at a very young age, she's practicing hospitality. And also Madhvi, she makes breakfast for the setup team. You know, very early in the morning, she gets up at 4 or 5 o'clock. And even Joanna, and you know, we go to her place and she serves us food. And joyfully they do it. I encourage the single men and the women to do it, and also the families to practice hospitality. And also, we can express our devotion by evangelism, by reaching out to people, keep a global mission. You know, we can take our friends and go on the streets or anywhere, share the gospel with your friends. That's how you can express your love in this age, in this modern age. And we need to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. You know, let us turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Amen. So I encourage each one to express your love just like this woman did. For he who has been forgiven much loves much. And he who has been forgiven little loves little. You know, when we don't do these things, it means that we may think that we have been forgiven little. But we need to know that God has forgiven all our sins. A past, present, future. He has taken all our sins, just like this sinful woman. She was the most sinful woman in the town. Jesus took it away, nailing it to the cross. He took away all our shame, our accusation. Nobody can accuse us right now. Amen? And we have new life in Christ Jesus. And we have freedom to express our love and devotion. Amen? I hope you're encouraged by this lovely lady who expressed her love and devotion to Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you so much that you love us. Lord, and we want to love you because you have loved us first. You demonstrated your love for us on the cross. Lord, we deserved that death on the cross. We deserved that punishment. But you took away all our shame, our sickness, all our sin on the cross. And you forgave us. And you made us sons and daughters of God. And you have given us eternal life. He who believes in you shall not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, we want to be like this woman. She loved you, and we want to love you the same, Lord. And we want to express our devotion. And we want to honor you in everything, in all that we do, in all that we say. We want to please you, Lord. Lord, for us, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Yes, Lord, our last breath on earth will be our first breath in heaven. That is our assurance in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us extravagantly. And we want to give you our best to you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amazing. Thank you, Austin, for that wonderful word. And I'd like the band to come forward. Yeah? Quickly. Really. Isn't that an amazing God we serve? Yeah, that, you know, that no matter how sinful we are, He loves us. And He accepts us like He accepted that sinful woman. And our response to His forgiveness of our sins is devotion to Him. You know, and we're going to sing this song, "Jesus, We Love You," this morning. Yeah, and as we sing that song, ask the Lord to show you. You know, are you responding in an appropriate way to God's extravagant forgiveness to us? Yeah, He's forgiven us all our sins. Our past is forgiven. Our future is in His hands. Our present is in His hands. Our future is secure. And we say, "Jesus, thank you for that. Thank you." And that thanks is outworked in our devotion, as Austin said to him. We can say one thing, but how are we living? That's the key thing. Come, let's stand together. Amen. Let's just close our eyes and